Welcome to the Tell Us Something podcast. I'm Mark Moss, your host. Tell Us Something awakens imagination, empowers storytellers, and connects the Missoula community through the transformative power of personal storytelling. It is a celebration of each other, our stories, and how we move through the world together. All of the stories that tell us something are true. Stories last for 10 minutes and are told from memory. Everyone is welcome to tell a story. The Missoula community comes together for a night of shared stories, told live, focused on a theme. Everyone has a story. What's yours? This quarter's Tell Us Something was recorded on July 25th, 2015, at the Peace Farm in Missoula, Montana. Six storytellers shared their story based upon the theme, Why I Stayed. Today's story comes to us from Stephanie Wing and is titled, There Is No Place Like Home. Thank you for listening.
Hi, thanks for coming. So I'm really psyched I get to tell this story where we are, number one. I'm pretty nervous about this story because it's kind of a tender story for me. So I appreciate all my friends that are here that are supporting me. I have a love affair with the story of The Wizard of Oz. It is one of those shows that was on once a year on television, and I never missed it. I loved the idea that Dorothy was able to go to a different place and have an adventure and then actually decide where that she actually wanted to come home. Some of you know this, but I have a very interesting family. My father's been married 4 times. I've had lots of moms, and I have lots of grandparents, too. That was always interesting. Lots of presents. But when I was about 5 and a half and my brother was a toddler, my parents divorced. And I'm the oldest out of 6 siblings, actually 7. Sometimes we don't count my little brother just because he's from my stepdad. But hopefully he won't ever listen to this. my parents divorced, and my mom got remarried, and my dad got remarried. And my dad did not get custody of my brother and I. And we ended up living with my mom. And the lawyer told my dad, and this was in like 1977, the lawyer told my dad that there's no way that you would ever win custody of those 2 kids, no matter how bad you want those kids. And how unfit your mother, the mother is. You'll never get the kids. So my dad was like, okay. So we went with my mom. And my mom remarried, and she married my stepfather, and they decided to move to Colorado. And we ended up living in Aurora, Colorado, which in the 80s was the fastest growing city in the West. And what that means is that basically the Great Plains were getting eaten away by humans and subdevelopments and mini malls and all of that. So I lived on the Great Plains in Aurora, and we were at the edge. So I could look out onto the prairie, and I could still see the land. There weren't any houses there yet. And we could see the little prairie dog towns across the street, and we'd go play in the dirt and have a good time there. We also lived in a very culturally diverse area. My stepfather is a really interesting guy. Some of you guys know the stories, but it's been really hard for me to actually find the good in him. And it hasn't been really until he died that I was able to see some of this goodness that he had. And my brother is the one who helped me find that. He was the kind of guy that when I was in third grade, I got off the bus and one of our neighbors, we got off at the same bus stop, and Laura, her name was Laura Green, and I got off the bus stop and she was like, "What were you looking at me like that for?" And I was like, What are you talking about? And in my head, I was like, "Well, I was looking at your sweet ass beaded hair," but I didn't say that. I just was like, in fourth grade, going, "Oh my God!" And she socked me in the stomach, and I lost all my homework, and I ran home, and I was crying my eyes out. I'd never been hit by another human that wasn't a parent. And so it freaked me out, and I ran home crying. And my stepdad, when he got home that night, he said, "There's no way that a black person is ever going to beat you up." And so he started this regimen of teaching my brother and I how to fight. And he would box with us. And this is when I was in fourth grade and my brother was probably like in kindergarten or preschool. And so we learned how to fight because he didn't want us to be sissies and he wanted to toughen us up. So I spent many, many, many days and hours wanting to escape living on the prairie. And I feel like Dorothy wanted to escape living on the prairie too. So I really bonded with that character. And my brother and I would go out, and on the prairie, you can see storms coming. And the skies are big. Like, I feel like the sky's really big here tonight, but it's a little bit bigger when you're on the prairie. And you could see them rolling in. And in my front yard, that's where I first was able to learn what that smell of rain was. And I could smell the rain coming. But my brother and I would, like, go out and play until we could play no more. And I would play this game with him where we would go out across into the field and we would spin around and get dizzy and spin and spin and spin and spin and spin. And I would tell him, "Don't fall, don't fall, keep spinning." And we would spin around until we finally fell. And when we woke up, we were in a different place. And I would create characters for my brother and I. And we would battle beasts and make new friends and do this whole Wizard of Oz play. I was really kind of a bossy sister, so I made him do everything. And he would go, "Okay, Steph." And we played like that until we couldn't play any longer, until the hail came. And when the hail came, you had to go inside. So we'd go inside. Finally, my mom decided that my brother needed a positive male role model. And she thought, maybe it's not so good that Josh is growing up with this man that looks into the mirror and likens himself to a stallion. And so she sent him away. And I'm sure that I could have gone too with him, but I chose to stay. And it's been a long time thinking about why I stayed. And because that was probably the worst year of my childhood, was the choice that I made to stay. It was hard. I finally figured out halfway through that year that this story was not going to have a happy ending. The story that my life was in was not going to be good. And I was 13 years old. And I said, I got to do something because this isn't going to work. This isn't going to end good. And so I told my dad. He was on a business trip. He came to Denver, and I told him, I said, I'm going to come and live with you. And he said, my door's always open to you. And I said, okay. And then it took me like 3 months to tell my mother. And I told my mother, and my mom's kind of an interesting lady. Like, she's kind of like a combo of the Wicked Witch of the West and Glinda at the same time. Like, she's really like, she was in like 1965, she was like the first runner up for Miss Montana. And so she has this like thing that she does, like everything's perfect. And I told my mom, I said, I'm gonna go live with Dad. And she didn't speak to me for about 3 months. And that was really hard. And I wonder, I think about why I stayed, and there's some things about why I stayed. And one of them is I have this really great quality that some people think and is great, and it is. And I'm really loyal to people. And like, if I was in the Game of Thrones, you'd want me on your side because I would kill every single bad guy that was going for my friends and my family. So I have this loyalty thing, but it also is difficult because sometimes I'm not able to let it go. And I think that during that time, letting go was the only way to survive. And it was, number one, the most courageous thing I ever did in my life, and the best decision in my life that I've ever made was to leave there. And I'm so glad I did. And I have this little quote because I know we're not supposed to use notes, but my favorite quote from The Wizard of Oz is, there is no living thing that is not afraid when faced with danger. True courage is in facing danger when we are afraid. Thank you.
Tell Us Something is proud to be fiscally sponsored by Missoula Community Foundation, a 501c3 organization. Missoula Community Foundation has been providing leadership to Missoula nonprofits and inspiring long-term philanthropy in Missoula since 2007. For the good of Missoula, forever. MissoulaCommunityFoundation.org. Thank you for your support of live storytelling and local art. The Bookstore at the University of Montana, a local bookstore serving the students, faculty, and staff of the University of Montana, as well as the Missoula community. MontanaBookstore.com. Fact and Fiction, where books, authors, ideas, and readers interact. FactandFictionBooks.com. Special thanks to Ryan Bundy, who provided the sound equipment for this Tell Us Something event. Learn more about Ryan and his music at RyanBundy.com. Haley Faust. Haley Faust is a graphic and media designer based in the heart of the Rocky Mountains. From concept to final design launch, Haley puts her heart and soul into your design project. HaleyFaust.com. Zoo City Apparel, custom screen printing, ZooCityApparel.BigCartel.com. Thanks to Cash for Junkers, who provided the music for the podcast. Find them at CashForJunkersMusic.com. Rock and Rudy's, your source for the best music, gifts, and more. Great music, great people, RockandRudy's.com. Podcast production by Nathan Zavolny of Missoula Soundworks, MissoulaSoundworks.com. And thank you to everyone who attends the events, those of you who download the podcasts, and especially to the storytellers, Tracy Worley, Debbie Hirschberg, Barbara Bartmus, Emily Johnson, Stephanie Wing, and Brian Marsh. Find us on Facebook and Twitter. Check the website to find out how you can tell your own story. TellUsSomething.org. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.